Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to H2 FY 2026 and FY 2026 results conference call of ABS Marine Services Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshil Ghanshyani from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all on the conference call of ABS Marine Services Limited. From the management team, we have Captain P.P. Narayan, Chairman and Managing Director, Ms. R.C. Narayan, Director, Mr. V.V. Anantha Narayan, Chief Financial Officer. With that, I now hand over the call to Ms. R.C. Narayan for the opening remarks. Over to you, ma'am. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the Managing Director, Captain Narayan, I would like to welcome all of you to ABS Marine Services Limited's earnings conference call to discuss the financial and operational performance for H2 and the full year ended FY 2026. On behalf of the management team, I would like to sincerely thank our shareholders, investors, customers, partners, bankers, and all stakeholders for their continued trust and support. FY 2026 has been an important year for us as we continue to enhance our capabilities, expand our own fleet, and build a stronger foundation for long-term growth across the offshore and maritime segments. Founded in 1992 in Chennai, ABS Marine has evolved into one of India's integrated maritime service providers with operations across ship management, vessel ownership, marine services, and port services. Over the years, we have built a diversified maritime platform catering to offshore energy, port operations, oceanographic research, and coastal logistics while maintaining a strong focus on reliability, safety, regulatory compliance, and service excellence. Today, we operate a diversified fleet with offices in Mumbai, Kochi, Singapore, and Kakinada, supported by over 2,000 seafarers and shore-based professionals. With strong execution capabilities, ISO-certified processes, and compliance with the DG Shipping, we continue to deepen our relationships with government institutions, offshore service providers, port authorities, and private sector clients. On the operational front, we remain focused on enhancing our offshore capabilities and expanding our own fleet to improve operational control, service delivery, and long-term revenue visibility. As part of this strategy, during H2 FY 2026, we successfully inducted the offshore support vessel Artemis into our own fleet, expanding our vessel ownership portfolio and improving our ability to participate in higher value offshore projects. The acquisition has also improved fleet flexibility and enhanced long-term revenue visibility for the business. Further enhancing our offshore capabilities, we are also scheduled to take delivery of an offshore supply vessel in Q1 FY 2027. This addition marks a key milestone in our fleet expansion strategy and is expected to significantly improve offshore service capabilities, increase execution capacity, and reduce reliance on third-party vessels. The addition of this vessel also positions us better to cater to increasing offshore demand and execute larger, more complex offshore assignments. Alongside fleet expansion, we continue to focus on improving vessel utilization levels and execution capabilities across projects. Improved fleet deployment, stronger charter realizations, and disciplined cost management contributed positively to the company's overall business momentum during the year. At the same time, our continued emphasis on compliance standards, operational reliability, and customer service quality has helped us further strengthen relationships with key clients across offshore, marine, and port service segments. These operational advancements translated into a strong financial performance during FY 2026. On a consolidated basis, total income stood at 322.64 crores, registering a robust growth of 75.05% year-on-year. EBITDA increased significantly by 179.17% to 152.55 crores, and PAT stood at 122.56 crores, 75.05% year-on-year growth. while the EBITDA margin expanded sharply by 1,763 basis points to 47.28%. Profit after tax rose by 196.45% to 80.80 crores, with a PAT margin improving by 1,026 basis points to 25.04%. Earnings per share for the year stood at 32.59 rupees, reflecting a strong growth of 184.88% compared to the previous year. During H2 FY26, consolidated total income for the period stood at 183.11 crores, registering a growth of 78.93% year-on-year. EBITDA surged by 164.64% to 94.23 crores, while EBITDA margin expanded significantly by 1,667 basis points to 51.46%. Profit after tax increased by 158.22% to 49.46 crores, with PAT margin improving by 829 basis points to 27.01%. Earnings per share for H2 FY26 stood at 19.96 rupees, reflecting a growth of 146.42% over the corresponding period last year. The strong H2 FY26 performance highlights the benefits of the company's continued focus on owned fleet expansion, disciplined execution, operational efficiency, and effective cost management across offshore and marine services. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic about the opportunities emerging within the offshore and maritime sectors. India's maritime industry is witnessing strong momentum driven by initiatives such as the Maritime India Vision 2030, which outlines over 150 strategic initiatives with projected investments of 3 to 3.5 lakh crores, along with recently announced 69,725 crore support package for shipbuilding. These initiatives, coupled with increasing investments in port modernization, coastal infrastructure, and offshore energy, are expected to create significant long-term opportunities across the maritime ecosystem. Additionally, favorable demand-supply dynamics in the offshore vessel market, supported by an aging global fleet and limited new vessel additions, continue to improve utilization levels and charter rates across segments. With our expanding own fleet, operational expertise, and integrated maritime capabilities, we are well positioned to capitalize on these opportunities and enhance our presence across the offshore and marine services. Going forward, our strategy remains focused on disciplined fleet expansion, prudent capital allocation, operational excellence, and enhancing our offshore capabilities to support sustainable long-term growth. We also continue to focus on improving productivity, elevating service delivery standards, and leveraging our integrated maritime platform to create long-term value for customers and stakeholders alike. Before I conclude, we would like to sincerely thank our employees, seafarers, customers, partners, and shareholders for their continued confidence and support. Their trust and commitment continue to inspire us as we enter the next phase of growth and expansion. Thank you, and we open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahil Dasani from MAPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Good afternoon and thank you for this opportunity. First of all, congrats on a great set of results. And it's really good to see how well the company is managing its working capital and generating strong cash flows. So kudos for that. My first question is, I want to understand our contracts better. For the short-term contracts, we shifted both our vessels, Diamond as well as Emerald, to a different vendor in October. Same we did with Anoki and Celestial last year. So is renewal with the same clients an issue for us whereby we lose the repeat order? Otherwise, in this industry, customers would be very sticky with vendors like us. As I believe moving ships from one location to another again and again is not very efficient for both parties. especially since the customer needs the vessel continuously to maintain the oil well. So why are these contracts not repeating for us?
It is not that we are not repeating the contract. We just wanted these vessels to embark on a long-term charter with ONGC and also keep the option if ONGC rates are much lesser with other. We are already negotiating contract deals with the parties who had already taken these vessels. Last year it was with L&T, and we have about 4 or 5 inquiries, and we are just dealing with them because that particular job will come up only after the monsoons, that is usually around October. So we are in talks with them. They are very much in requirement of these vessels because these are very fuel efficient vessels and they know how we have performed last session.
Okay, got it. And if I were to specifically get on to Emerald and Ocean Diamond, I believe both of those contracts have ended recently. One, I believe, in Jan and one in April. So have we gotten new contracts and they are in use, or are these two vessels idle for now? If you can share what's the update here.
Okay, as far as Diamond is concerned, they are still continuing and they will continue for probably one more month before the real monsoon settles, or probably a little, the workload is there, but monsoon would be the criteria for it to stop work. Whereas Emerald, we had to pull out because the dry docking was coming up, so some jobs were to be done, so we have pulled out. And there, as of now, she is at the anchorage, and we are negotiating with various people for the next contract.
Okay, got it. And when did Emerald get idle? In which month?
It got in May 10th or 15th or something around that year.
Got it. Sure. And I believe the value of the L&T contract was very high. Previously, when these two vessels were with ONGC and Alford, the rates were 13 lakhs per day. But with L&T, the rates were 17 and 22 lakhs per day. So now when we repeat both these contracts, since you said the Ocean Diamond would come off in maybe a month and Emerald is already off, so will we see these rates repeating, or will these rates go down much more?
We hope to get at least this kind of rate or better, because the availability of vessels are very less. At the same time, these vessels have proved to be very fuel efficient. Most of the vessels they're getting, like ideally it would be about 8 to 9 kiloliters per day, whereas these are doing at 5. So you know, today only about before the Iran war started, the diesel prices were around 90,000 per liter. Today it's more than 2 lakh.
Okay.
So you see, people are going to look at that more strongly than any other thing. As it is, these vessels have performed well.
Got it. So the point is, at least these rates would repeat, if not increase.
That is true. Because we have huge advantage of fuel, advantage in fuel.
Makes sense, got it. Coming on to the new vessel additions, we have been going very aggressive there and have been acquiring a lot of vessels. So if you can share some pointers as to doing such a large expansion after such a long time, we would be having some visibility or demand idea from the customers, right? So if you can just speak on that in relation to these two new vessels that we have added, ASPS and the HD.
Yes, this one vessel which is already in Chennai going through routines to get the clearance from Ministry of Defense. We are just waiting for that. We already got a charter with the Hardy Oil for a 5-year contract. And,
actually, sir, your voice is a bit low. If you can just repeat what you said, I totally missed it.
No, this vessel is already in Chennai. Can you hear me?
You were saying this vessel is already in. That's where I stopped getting you clearly.
Okay. This vessel is already in Chennai, and she is going through various process of making her an Indian flag. And at the same time, oil field demands that the we should get clearance from Ministry of Defense, MOD. That takes normally 1 month. So from the time we have come, we have been doing all the process for getting the MOD clearance and naval clearance. In the meantime, we also have a contract already signed with Hardy Oil for a 5-year term for the same vessel.
So wait, you said you are doing work on one of these for defense. So that is AHTS or Hades? And the second you said that you have already signed a contract.
I'm talking about Hades at the moment. She's being called Artemis.
Okay. Artemis.
The other vessel has just come into India. We are just going through the process. We have a lot of inquiries. We are not doing anything because she has to go for a dry dock and then conversion to Indian flag and other things. Only then we will start looking for a charter.
Got it. Got it. Perfect. And what will be the charter rate possible for this? Would it be in the range of 10-15 lakhs or would it be 16-20 lakhs and above per day?
No, no. I think it should be in 10 to 15 lakhs.
Both of these vessels? AHTS as well as Artemis.
AHTS I know, but the other one we are hoping to get much better.
Okay. Hades would be much more. Got it. And are we converting any of these two into a stimulation vessel?
There has been a few inquiries by SLB for conversion one of the emerald or the diamond. And taking it to the Gulf because she is also draft sensitive. So we are still waiting for them. Like we said, we have been talking to various other charterers and we are looking into the best what we can get under the circumstances.
Got it, very clear. And what would be the fleet expansion plan further for this year? In December, the call that we had, you indicated that we want to add 7 to 10 more vessels. From that, we have added 2. So, are we still on the same plan or are we getting more aggressive or has there been a change there?
No, as of now, we will be adding in the same thing once we get, you know, these vessels also in line with our, you know, charters and other things. And then we look, expansion is something, the way, only way to grow the company.
So we should be adding 5 more new vessels, you are saying?
We are thinking of about a couple of vessels, but all the time we are looking for a bargain. If we get something good, we'll of course inform.
Of course, got it. And one last question. AM Passion was initially a OSV and was to be upgraded to a stimulation vessel. And in the last con call, we said that charter rates increased further post an upgrade. Versus initially when a contract is signed. So is that right in AM Passion? Has that upgrade been done? Will we see a charter rate increase here?
AM Passion, when she was bought, she was converted in Dubai as a well stimulation vessel. And then as of now, we are getting about $16,000 per day. And that is fixed for 3 years. And then the next 3 years, it will be at 19,000.
Okay, so for 2 years, you said at 16,000, 2 years after that at 19,000.
No, no, 3 years, of which 1 year already, I think on 18th of last month, we completed 1 year with Schlumberger and SLB, now they called us SLB, and they are very happy with the vessel. And now we are on the second year. Operation with them.
Okay, so in the third year, which is in FY28, we will be seeing these rates increasing to 19,000.
That is correct.
Got it. And would it be right to say that in stimulation vessels, we would be making higher margins since crew management would be done by the customer? Is that right to say?
Yes, we are handling our own vessels. We are not giving it to any third party. So we know how to restrict our expenses. So probably as and when, see, one thing is there, the vessels have to go through various, you know, maintenance schedules. So that will take some cost. Otherwise, I think we should do a pretty good job of restricting our operation.
No, so what I was trying to ask is comparing the stimulation vessel to the offshore vessel that we are doing. For example, compare Ocean Diamond to M Passion. Do we see a margin difference? And maybe the margins are higher in M Passion being a stimulation vessel.
No, no. Here what happens is the requirement by the charterers are slightly more higher. They need more people and more qualified. They are very strict about the number of years they have spent in the offshore vessel, and all those kind of thing increases our cost in the manning part. Of course, technical, we are quite confident that it will remain the same.
Okay. And just one last question from my side, if I may ask. What kind of sales and purchase team do we have? That part being the most important in our business. If you can share what's their previous background roles and how big is the team?
No, we don't have a separate team, but we are in contact with many brokers all over the world, and they keep us updated. And between all these things, we also try and get the best, and we have been managing till now.
Got it, got it. And how to think about the current market? Are we paying heavy premiums and buying at the peak of the cycle? Are we worried at all about that? Or do you think that this is the right time to buy and go more aggressive?
The premium is only because of the exchange rate. Other than that, I don't see much change in this. Because from what we're paying, 82 rupees per dollar, it has gone up to 96 everywhere. So that is playing on the, you know, cost of the vessel. But other than that, I think if we can identify the correct vessel in the correct place, we can get bargains.
Got it, very clear. I have a few more questions, but I'll get back in the queue. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Apoorva Bandi from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Congratulations on the excellent set of numbers. So I just missed in the previous commentary that you mentioned about HAGE and MPSV. These two are the two new vessels. So regarding HAGE, you mentioned that vessel is already in Chennai, and we are making it to the Indian flag, and we are waiting for clearance. And you also mentioned that we are having a 5-year contract already signed. So I want to know what, at what rate we have done this contract?
This contract, see, this contract can happen only once we get the vessel approval, and the charterers have already come and bought, and they have had a look at it, and they are quite satisfied. That is when we sign the charter party. So that has happened only last week.
Okay, so you mean that the price has not been fixed yet, is it?
Please repeat, I didn't get that.
Yeah. Sir, does this mean that we have not fixed the price yet, which you mentioned that regarding some 5-year contract for the HAGE?
That's already done.
Okay. Okay, and so for MPSV, you mentioned that it has just came in India and it will go for drag up for a few months, and then it will be, then only charging will be done. Is my understanding right?
That is correct. So my CFO just informed me that they're already putting it up, or the thing about the Hardy charter. It should be coming up in the NSE website.
Okay, okay. Okay, and then, my next question is, I want to understand that when a vessel is idle, how much does it cost us per day? And also want to understand, like, the majority of the charges would be of docking charges, right? We have to take some space where the ship, what the vessel would be kept. Right? Want to understand that part.
Usually when the vessel is idle, the charges that actually incur is the people who are on board, their wages, the port charges, which we normally don't, if it is in the berth, it is more expensive. we keep her in the Anchorage, so which is much lesser cost at the moment, like Emerald is in the Anchorage. And of course, the oil that we are burning for giving the, you know, keeping the keeping all the machineries on.
Mm-hmm. Just say approximately what would be the cost? One parking lot.
You want per day cost?
Yeah, yes.
I'm not aware. I mean, it all depends on number of people we keep on board and how much we are burning. So let's put it as a ballpoint figure. It's about $1,700 a day.
Got it. Got it. And say, is there any revenue guidance and EBITDA margin for the year?
No, I'm not able to hear you.
Okay. Am I audible right now?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm saying that what is the revenue guidance and the EBITDA margin guidance for the current year, financial year 27?
Let me put the CFO on the line. Probably he'll be able to answer you more explicitly.
Hello. Can you repeat the question, sir?
Yeah, sir, my question is, what is the revenue guidance and EBITDA margin guidance for the current financial year, FY27?
Yeah, regards the guidance on the top line is concerned, we can expect a 10% increase on the, assuming that all the vessels will be running in the second half. We can expect on the turnover front a 10% increase from the current levels. As regards to EBITDA is concerned, I am sure that currently it is around 40, in the band of 45 to 50. I am sure that that will continue, sir.
Got it. And so by the year end, are we coming to add more vessels?
Are we going to add?
More vessels. Would we be increasing?
I think Captain has already told that the vision is to expand up to go forward for 7 to 8 vessels over a period of 2 to 3 years. So that question I think he has answered already.
Okay. Okay. And my last question is regarding the MPHV. I think the MPHV, have we purchased that vessel or have we taken it on charter?
One minute.
Could you please repeat the question about the MPSV?
Yeah. The MPSV vessel is chartered by us or we have purchased that vessel?
No. We have purchased the vessel and she was lying in South Africa. She just made the journey to to Lavgan, where the vessel's certificates are going to expire. So we need to dry dock the vessel before we can put her on charter.
Okay. Actually, in the presentation, MPSP is mentioned as chartered. That's why I had that confusion.
No. Only the anchor handling AHT has been chartered. MPSP, okay. We still have a lot of work to do because she is just coming to Lavgan. She has to go in the... We are waiting for spares to come so that a proper dry docking can be done. We had an option of getting the vessel dry docked in South Africa and bring her, but then we thought that we will not be in control because the costs there are much higher. And by bringing her here, we will save at least 50% of the cost that we would have normally incurred in South Africa.
Got it. And so these two vessels, Hage and MPSV, are both in the parent company, ABS Marine, or we have taken in the subsidiary Ipsom company?
No, both are in ABS Marine Services Limited.
Okay. Okay. And so what are the costs of acquisition for both the new vessels, Hage and MPSV?
Just a moment. That's included. This is for? We have total, we have spent about $15 million for both the vessels.
Okay, okay. Got it. Thank you, sir. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Yoganj Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of results. So just one question, like the CFO sir mentioned that the growth guidance for this year would be conservatively around 10%. So just out of curiosity, why are we considering this 10%? Because I think from the kind of vessels that we have given on charter, the kind of the rupee depreciated, that would be just the, you know, conversion of that. While we have two new vessels and then we'll be having Emerald and the other vessel coming into production as well, which has gone idle now, which you guided would be on a higher charter rate most likely. So then why are we thinking of a lesser number for growth?
So let me put it this way. We always try to be very conservative and like to perform better than what we are given. And that has been our trend right through. So we are giving this. This is definite, but definitely we will do much better than this is there. So we can see the second half yearly results will come out. We can see better, you know, numbers and other things. But as of now, like we have always been very conservative on our numbers, and we would like to perform better than what we are given.
Got it. And sir, like you were mentioning that Hayes would be a long contract. And since it's a higher value, like you said, so can it be a 25-30 lakh per day contract for a vessel like this?
No, no. Hayes is a, you know, it was bought at a $5 million. So it will be about 6 lakhs, I think, around 6 lakh per day.
Okay. It will be lesser then.
Yes. The other one we hope to get much better because they have a huge number of accommodation, and this kind of vessel is a little difficult to get, and it is a requirement from most of the EPC contractors in Mumbai, for not only for repairing all those rigs, pipelines, diving, all those this vessel can do. But first we have to get through our certification. That means the dry dock and other thing. That will take some time. Hopefully we'll be ready before the time the monsoon set is already over, and people will be, already people are asking us, but we are not making any commitment because we still want to bring our certificates and everything for next 5 years. So that is what we are concentrating on.
Okay. So, safe to assume that maybe in H2, some part of few months, we might get to see some revenue from MPS.
That is correct. Absolutely.
And given the shortage of this vessel, like you mentioned, this could be higher charter. Broadly, what range should it be, like 15, 20 lakhs or 25, 30 lakhs? Kind of?
Should be around 15 to 20 lakhs. Like I said, we are very conservative on whatever you say, but 15 lakhs should be the
all-point figure. Got it. And sir, one more question. So, like we are seeing that ONGC, Reliance, all of these are coming up with a lot of projects, you know, several development wells also by them. So, given all of this, how are you seeing the demand for, you know, vessels coming up, and how are you looking to, you know, capitalize on this demand?
Well, if you look at the government policies, it has been that we must increase the production of the vessel. That is why earlier they used to have only one well simulation vessel. Now they have about four, of which two of them are owned by us. So the government itself is trying to push all the vendors, I mean, like their ONGC, Oil India and other things, to get, you know, more surveys done and drill more wells, and try and enhance the oil production. One war has, you know, the thought process has changed. as you know, that Iran and Iran war has really caused a huge kind of problem for our government. So looking at that, we feel that the demand for all these kind of any oil drilling program or production program, you need vessels. And that is where we come in. So we hope that the demand will be always there, quite strong.
Got it. And sir, like you were telling about the dry docking of MPHE, similarly, I think all our vessels need to go for a dry dock every 5 years or so, right? So in terms of our overall vessel fleet, where are we in this cycle? Are you expecting any large off period this year or maybe next year?
No, for that, the technical department is looking at it. They are staggering in a way that, you know, not many vessels are off hire at the same time. At the same time, they are very, I mean, you must get all the spares in line, you must have a dry dock space, and all this has to be looked into. So we don't want to bunch all of them together as one expense in any quarter. So we'll be doing a staggering thing. But this is already taken into account well in the operation of the vessels.
Acha, understood. And sir, one question on your taxation part. So in previous calls, you have shared about the tonnage tax benefit. While still in this second half, we paid 8% tax. So if you could just broadly help us understand why was that so, and for FY27, what kind of tax rate should we think of?
Okay, if you look into tonnage tax, it is something which the government has brought in to encourage Indian ship owners to buy more tonnage. So what they do is they tax not as per the earnings, they tax on the tonnage of the vessel. So this, what we do is, whatever is, you know, between the corporate tax and the tonnage tax is used as for purchasing of another vessel. And that is mandatory. Within 10 years, you have to do so much purchase. So this is a scheme which has been not only in Indian government, but it is worldwide. It is quite popular.
Got it. And sir, on the competition, just wanted to understand from you how easy or difficult it is for any new incoming peer to buy these vessels and start competing, or is there some long approval process? I think you mentioned about some MOD and naval clearances and some flag change certification. So how long does it take, and how difficult or easy will it be for a new player in terms of complexity and, you know, getting these engagements with the clients that we serve? If you could just broadly help us understand that.
In fact, if you look at it, we have gone through, all vessels have gone through the same process. MOD clearance normally takes 1 month, but we start the process much earlier. And we, since we have been in this business for a long time, we try and keep that as low as possible. But we always take it as 1 month, within which we do the flag conversion and change of, you know, registry, all that we do within that 1 month.
Okay. And then, you based on the FY27 tax percentage that we should think of, what should that be?
Just 1 moment.
Repeat the question, sir.
Sir, what kind of tax rate should we think of for FY27?
Around maximum around 1.5 to 2% in that range.
Okay, 1.5 to 2%. And just one last question, sir. Given the demand that we are seeing and the number of new vessels that we want to add, and again on the balance sheet we have debt, so how do you think about balancing the expansion plans that we have and then funding the same, maybe, you know, the debt reduction that you might want to look at? So if you could just broadly share your thoughts on that.
At this point of time, with the debt equity ratio for the bank rates are also comfortable. I don't think we have overshoot on the debt side. With the DPA reserves and all, I think bank rates are comfortable for lending at this point of time. Because as captain said, mostly, bank rates are comfortable with the current debt equity ratio and all. So they don't see funding will be a problem at this point of time.
So do you have a figure like a peak debt in your mind while planning these, or nothing as such?
Essentially, the team plans in such a way that a vessel with the right price and the right charter rates and all available, each vessel is make the adequate path and cash flows to generate its own revenue. So as long as that continues, as Captain said, this acquisition process will expansion and acquisition, further acquisition will continue, sir.
Fair enough, sir. And just one last feedback from my answer. Doing these phone calls is really helpful, like the one which we are doing today. It gives us a lot of insights into the business and how things are faring out for you. So if you could just increase the frequency of it from, you know, once a year to maybe two calls a year, that would be really, really helpful. And I'll seriously suggest that the management considers this feedback.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
So firstly, I wanted to understand that hypothetically, if we liquidate all the full fleet that we have, so how much approximately will be the value of our fleet at current market prices?
Currently, we are the process of expansion and that liquidity sort of things we have not calculated, but at least for the market value guidance, maybe Captain MD will be able to give a guidance on the market value of the assets at least.
That question is very, very fluid because everything changes with time. As of now, the markets are doing well. A vessel like the Passion would fetch you about $20 million, and similarly Celestial will also fetch around $20 million. The others probably in the range of $10 to $15 million. So this is a general ballpark figures that we would like to inform. This is what we find, when we go for buying vessels, these are the kind of numbers that come to us.
Now, sir, who would be our major competitors, and sir, what would be our market share, and what is the possibility of a glut happening in this industry? Because, sir, if we see there is a competitor, CMEC, I'm not sure whether it is a like-to-like competitor, but sir, their margins have also increased from like 30% to 50%, the same trend as we see in our company. So if this is an industry-wide phenomena that the charter rates are very lucrative and margins of existing players are very high, so everybody is doing aggressive capex and adding new vessels. So if there is an oversupply situation, then, sir, what are the chances that the vessels might be basically unoccupied and then we have the burden to service the debt? So, that's obviously the worst case scenario, but sir, since things move in cycles and as of now the charter rates are high, so, and a related question is that considering high charter rates lead to high ship vessel prices, is this the best time to add new vessels?
Like we said, we don't buy vessels without having considered all these things, whether the charter hire is going to take care of it, or the kind of vessel that we get is, and we have always been focused on long-term charters, so we were really not worried about that utilization part. And especially as far as the supply and demand concerned, the supply is very low. There are a lot of years where no new build was made in offshore sector. So now suddenly the offshore sector started looking up, and by the time somebody like a vessel like, if you take Passion, I'm saying 20 million because she was built in 22. Okay, if you want to build a vessel like Passion in China, it will not cost you less than $35 million. That $35 million, would anybody invest to kind of come to the kind of charter rates that we are enjoying? So will it work for them? Those are the questions that we ask ourselves before we do any further purchase.
Understood, sir. And the first part of the question, that what would be our market share?
Market share, see, at the moment in offshore, most of the vessel owners are like big companies like Great Eastern and Shipping Corporation. Other than that, most of the small, bigger companies are liquidated last time when there was a glut. There was a problem when the charter hire had come down. So, like Great Offshore. Other than that, I think we would come in a medium range, because after Great Eastern and after SCI, I think the number of vessels we are owning is probably the third or fourth or fifth. Probably third.
And sir, what about...
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Garg. I'm really sorry. You may please rejoin the queue for more questions. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shubham, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. I have two questions, sir. So the first question is, of all the owned vessels that are there currently in our fleet, so how many are operating under long-term contracts, and how many are under short-term, and currently how many are parked because of no contracts?
Okay, out of the 8 vessels that we own, 5 of them are on long-term charter, 3 of them, 2 of them have just come out of charter, and third one is just we have acquired. So it has to go into the dry dock and then only come out and then only be put in the market.
Sir, so I think in the presentation you mentioned that we have 12 vessels as of now. This includes the 2 that we have newly inducted. And sir, is that 12 number is correct or is that not?
Yeah. No, 12 number is correct. The other 4 vessels are smaller vessels. They are on long-term charter. They are pilot boats and security boat. 4 of them, 2 of them running in Chennai port and 2 of them are running in Ennore port. So totally we have 12 vessels.
Got it. And sir, out of
those vessels are on 7+2-year charter.
Understood. So there are 3 vessels which are currently in idle state. Like, by when would they be also on charter, like on contracts, either short term or long term?
I thought this was answered earlier. Like, we are talking about only 2 vessels, not 3. Actually, 2 vessels. That is, one is the Emerald, and the other one is the Serenity, what we are going to call a Serenity, which has to just come into Indian port and she has to go for dry dock. Diamond is already on charter, but she will be finishing her charter probably in another 1 month's time. Rest all on long-term charter.
Got it, sir. And sir, the second question is, what is the current annual debt that you have to pay? And for the debt, how much will be the annual interest expense that you will be paying in FY27 and the depreciation?
Just a minute.
See, the as regards the depreciation policy is concerned, we evaluated the economic life of the asset around 25 to 30 years, and that is the industry practice. So we follow the straight line method of depreciation. So we are amortizing the cost of the assets over a period of 25 years from the year in which it is built.
20 years, you think, sir?
SLM method of depreciation with a lifespan of 25 years. Even though a couple of vessels are permissible up to 30 years, we conservatively use 25 years as the figure.
And sir, how much will be the annual interest?
I'm sorry, Shubham, you may please rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Achut, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. want to understand how much revenue is recurring revenue, like should we have good revenue growth this year? And
not audible. Not audible, sir.
Hello, am I audible now?
You are audible. Can you use your handset mode, please?
Yes, yes. I am using handset only. So, sir, I want to understand how much revenue is recurring revenue, sir. Like, so we made around 180 crores in 2025 and 319 crores in 2026, right? And you are saying we might be doing 10% conservative in 2027. So I want to understand how much revenue is recurring revenue from this. I mean, are you getting the same contract from the same
client? Recurring revenue comes from the long-term contract. So almost 6 of our vessels are in long-term contract. So actually, continue. Almost 60% of the revenue is 60 to 70% of the revenue is recurring only. At least as regards 26, 27 is concerned. 100%, 60% of the revenue is recurring only.
So, next year we are being conservative, sir. So, what is the reason for it, sir? Like, is the...
No, the vessels will get operational at cap and head. We are ready. One or two vessels has just ended the Indian port. So, we have to tie up the contract, and by the time monsoon gets over and we start working, only the H2 will get the revenue clocked in. So even quarter one is almost getting over, right? So when you say that chartering is happening, don't multiply the charter rate with 365 and arrive at some calculation, sir.
What is the current order book, sir? If you can quantify it, what is the current order book?
Current?
Order book. How much order book do you have, the current?
Order book in the same. That you can separately address here. We will calculate and mail you on that question.
I mean, if it is possible, like...
I'm sorry to interrupt. Sir, you may please rejoin the queue for more questions. Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Next question is from the line of Umang Adatya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
First of all, thank you for giving me opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. I want to ask on specific regarding two vessels, that is Ocean Diamond and Emerald. Sir, they are 17 to 18 year old vessels. My question is, if ONGC's preference in future tenders shifts to new vessels, what is the company's concrete plan for these two assets over the next 2 to 3 years? Is retirement and replacement with younger tonnage already being evaluated, or does management expect to continue chartering them through FY 2028-29 or more?
Yeah, as of as far as ONGC, since you particularly mentioned that company, they have a policy that the when the opening of the tender, the vessel should be 21 years. Okay. So from 21, it can go for another 3 years, that is 24. So, these vessels are DP2 vessels, and Government of India has given a life of 30 years. So we are not depending only on ONGC. Like, these vessels have worked with L&T. They are very happy with them. And we were, looking at L&T, what we were getting for 9 months was much better than what ONGC was paying. The recent, tender values, we are getting much better than that. And the vessels were not being used the way ONGC were using it. So, we are looking at all those formulas before, this. But of course, the bankers and the investors would like a long-term charter in place. But at what cost? That is something we evaluate. Only then we will put her in ONGC or put her outside. And these vessels, although they are 18-year-old, are in high demand. Like I earlier mentioned, that today the oil price was more than 2 lakhs a kiloliter. which was only about 4-5 months before the war started, were only about 90,000 rupees. And these vessels can run at a whole day for 5 kiloliters, whereas a normal other vessel would take about 8 to 9 kiloliters per day. Just think about it. You're any charterer who gets an advantage of 4 kiloliters into 2 lakhs, wouldn't they prefer this vessel?
Sir, but sir, the motive behind the question was only that if we consider, I'm not saying that these vessels are useless or will be useless after 2 to 3 years. Sir, after, for example, if after 3 to 5 years, take a long-term duration, if there is an incremental cost of replacing a new vessel, so that's what I'm asking. If our incremental revenue is better than incremental cost, then we shouldn't have a problem. But as we are a growing company, that's why I'm asking.
Okay, I would like to answer it in a different way. Shipping is also trading. We always look at opportunities. When we get a good price for a vessel, we will sell. And if you get a good price for a better vessel, as far as age is concerned, we'll always buy it. So we are always looking at both the opportunities. We are not looking at only one thing, like chartering is the only thing. We always trade the vessel. We have been buying and selling vessels whenever it was, whenever we had a good opportunity or good pricing which was coming for that kind of vessel.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. I will join back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chintan Parekh from Vyom Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. First of all, it's a request to the IR partner to please limit all the questions to because it takes very long. To the management, sir, thank you for posting such an amazing number. So my question is with respect to the conversion of our ABS Anokhi from DP1 to DP2. So I'm assuming that Anokhi was roughly reaching the 25-year age at the DP1. And the conversion to DP2 was to extend and get 5 more years out of this. How many other vessels which are reaching 25 years age in our current portfolio?
No, the oldest vessel is Anokhi. And as of now, she's 20 years old, not even 20, it's going to be 20. So we can go in for one more charter with ONGC. So that should not be a problem. And being a DP2 vessel, like I said, and it has got a lot of accommodation, and it will be utilized in other charters also are very interested. But at the moment, since she is in ONGC, we are not really doing anything. We are trying to put her back in ONGC, because they are very comfortable with this vessel.
So my question was that how many other vessels which are reaching 25 years age mark, besides the...
All the vessels, this thing has been given in the brochure. We have given all the, age of vessel and everything. So I think other than that, the next vessel is 2008, I think. It is Diamond. And then and that is 17 years. And Emerald is 2008. Those are the older vessels. Rest all are 14 built and 16. Those.
Okay. So any plan for these 2 vessels to go to from DP1 to DP2 conversion in next 12 months?
Which vessel?
The one which you said, Diamond and the other, which are 2003 and 2008, something.
There are already DP2 vessels.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kiran, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I have 2 questions. First question is it possible to get a rough breakup along our revenue streams? On page number 13 of the presentation, we mentioned the revenue stream sources as a vessel charter, ship management, marine service, port service, and onboard services. So will it possible to get some rough percentage of our top line broken into these 5 sectors?
Yeah, sure.
So you can broadly categorize the revenue stream to two broad categories, sir. One is chartering, one is chartering, that is owning the vessels and getting the charter, and the other one is ship management. Under ship management, you can include the port services also. So if that is the broader line, then approximately in 24-25, it was 55 versus 45. Now because of new acquisition of vessels, it's almost 75 to 25. That is 75 comes from chartering. That is the income recognized from charterer of own ships comes to 75%. From ship management and other port related services, it's 25%. And within that, any breakup like port services contributes hardly only 4 to 5% of the total.
Okay, thanks. And my next question is related to your tax rate. To an earlier participant, you mentioned that FY27, we can assume an estimated tax rate above 1.5 to 2%. Whereas if we look at our current financial year, our tax rate was much higher, about 4 to 8%. So just wanted to understand the reason for it is dropping in the next year.
So the new vessels, everything we will be putting it in the tonnage tax scheme, sir.
Okay. Got it.
So because the 75% of the revenue will be taxed at much lesser rate, only the balance 25% will be coming under the normal taxation scheme.
Okay, so the tonnage would be 75%, you mean to say, right?
Correct, sir.
Okay, thanks. That's all from my side.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rahil Dasani from MAPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, moderator, for the opportunity again. So one question regarding Erin. The charter hire charges we paid to Ocean Deep Energies for Erin in FY25 was 55 CR based on the annual report, while charter income from Erin shown is 52 crores only based on the investor PPT. So it seems that Erin is not generating any profitability for us, for ABS particularly.
Come back again on that question, sir.
Yeah, I'll just repeat. So the charter hire charges that we paid to Ocean Deep Energies, which is our related party entity, was 55 crores in FY25. This data is based on the annual report. The charter income from Erin that we showed in the investor presentation was 52 crores. So we are paying Ocean Deep 55 crores and we are earning from Ocean Deep's vessel only 52 crores. So instead of making a profit on Erin, we are making a loss of 3 crores.
No, actually to be give more clarity on the related party transaction, we generate around 10-15% on the Erin thing as a ship management, what we generally maintain from the ship management, that is at an arm's length price of 15-20% is being recognized on the Erin also. I would look into that whether there is any misrepresentation or any on the facts that has been put upon the investor presentation.
Yeah.
Whatever has been that is because it's approximately around $17,000 to $18,000 of which ABS gets the mining income of around 15-20%. That remains because this agreement has been from before IPO also. So it will for the last two and a half years, the same continues. So the same trend only continues.
Got it. So maybe if you can let me know about this.
Yeah, definitely. Please write to us with the pages where you have mentioned. Definitely I will reply on that.
Got it. And just regarding the upcoming demand that the previous participant was asking on. So as we know that ONGC is right now digging 10 development wells, the PRP-9 project, Reliance has the KGD-6 project. So how should we think about existing tenders and bid pipeline? If you can quantumize it in some way, sir, as to what sort of tenders are we seeing, where have we bid, how big of a demand, how many vessels are being required. If you can give us some quantum on the demand.
The demand is, as of, as we talk now, ONGC is asking for about 20 vessels, a tender is going to come. I don't know when, they have been talking about it for the last 4 months. But our inside information is it should come anytime soon. I would say. Anytime soon, because I can't give any commitment. So there is a demand from that. As far as the other EPC contracts are coming up, they are, like I said, it is a seasonal thing. During the monsoon, they cannot work. In fact, if you know that Tauktae, when it was, there was a huge loss of life and all that, so they are very careful that they should not work with, during the monsoon time. So we are looking, like I said, we are looking at both ONGC and other charterers and seeing what best we'll get for the company. And we'll work according to that only. If, even if for 8 months, if we get better price than what ONGC is long term, 3 years, I think we'll take the 8 month contract.
Got it. And similarly, last time we said that Aramco, ADNOC, Dubai and Saudi orders, we were also planning to bid for those international orders, and here the realizations are to be even higher. And I believe we have gotten the approval here, which is very difficult to get. So if you can share what is going on in these markets right now.
As of now, you know, the war is there. We had already given our vessels to ADNOC. They had this thing, and now everything is at stop. We are looking. We are not looking only in India. We are also looking at West Africa, East Africa, and also in the Mediterranean. But, of course, we have worked with Saudi Aramco before, long time back, before we went public. So we are not losing any opportunities, you know, by not tendering in these places also. We are keeping our eyes open. If we get a contract, a long-term contract, normally it is 3 + 1 + 1. So we'll be interested and at a good price.
Got it. Very good. And just one last question from my side. How many operational days? So you talked about the docking period in this year, as to we will not have any large docking periods in this year. It will be split across quarters and no particular set of ships will all go together for docking. But if I were to understand, out of the 365 days, how many days should ABS be operational? If you can give me some sort of a number on an average.
No, a ballpoint figure is that the vessel doesn't operate 360. We an optimum would be about 330. So we normally calculate everything on the basis of 330 days working in a financial year or a normal year. That takes care of our maintenance and other, other issues.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that would be all from me. Thank you for answering all my questions, and also thank you for the moderator for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshil Ghanshyani for closing comments.
Yes, thank you. Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of ABS Marine Services Limited. If you have any queries, you can write us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the conference call.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Kirin Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you very much from ABS too.